you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Hello, everyone. We have another birthday edition of our Saturday Classics today. It is Emmy Noether, who was a groundbreaking mathematician and was born March 23rd, 1882.
We hope you enjoy her mathematical world.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
And today we're going to talk about a subject that was directly inspired by a listener mail. And we're going to talk in some detail about that listener mail at the end. But just know that it did, and we'll credit the person when we get to the end because it's pretty spectacular. We're going to talk about a really important lady mathematician. And the pronunciation of her name is a matter of some debate here at the office and online.
True.
So it's Emily Noether. You'll sometimes also hear it pronounced more like Noether.
Well, and then when I looked it up at Forvo, the one German speaker pronounced it more like Noether.
Yeah.
And I was like, we can't say it that way. That's so, not going to work.
So I think we decided we're going to hover right around Noether.
Mm-hmm.
That with all our possible respects to Emmy, and I hope we do not offend her ghost, should it exist.
Or German speakers in
or
general.
Or German speakers or people who love math and love her as a figure. So we're just going to jump right into talking about her.
Emmy was born Amalie Emmy Noether on March 23rd, 1882 in Erlangen, Germany. And her father, Max Noether, was a mathematician. Her mother, Ida Amalia Kaufmann, was from a very well-to-do family. And after Emmy was born, Max and Ida had three sons, although two of them died when they were very young. Only Emmy's brother, Fritz, survived to adulthood.
And as a young child, by most accounts, Emmy did not really stand out as especially gifted. She was a bright child, but nobody was like, this is the future of mathematics. She attended the state girls' school in Erlangen from 1889 to 1897, studying the basics of school curriculum. And she also took piano lessons, and she learned to speak French and English. And as she grew into her teen years, she loved dancing, and she was known as a very friendly, clever girl.
When she was 18, she was certified to teach both French and English, and the series of exams that she had to go through to get this certification was pretty strenuous. It took 4 days for her to do this. But instead of settling into a career teaching in girls' schools, she decided that she would go to university and study mathematics.
And this was a pretty big jump to suddenly make, and we don't know why Emmy had this sudden shift in interests. Her life up to this point had seemed to follow a pretty standard course for a young woman in that period of time in Germany from an intellectual middle-class family. You know, she would potentially get married, but if not, she had this backup job as a teacher. And none of her personal writing from this time has survived to offer us any clues why she suddenly decided that what she really wanted was to pursue a mathematics career.
Yeah, we do know that it wasn't a completely foreign subject to her. Her brother Fritz was studying mathematics at the time, and her father also entertained other mathematicians in their home from time to time. So she had been around the subject of math her whole life. So while it does seem like quite a shift to go from teaching French and English to studying math, it wasn't something that was completely new to her.
And just the same, though, this desire to take university courses was incredibly ambitious. So the schooling that girls received at this time in Germany was vastly different from the way that the boys were educated. The goal for a girls' school was to turn out proper young ladies or trade workers, depending on the young woman's family background. And they just simply did not receive the kind of educational groundwork that would make a transition to university studies a natural step.
Regardless of exactly how it was that she arrived at this decision, Emmy went to the University of Erlangen to continue her education. But because she was a woman and it was 1900, she couldn't just enroll in classes. She had to get special permission from every instructor of every class. And then she couldn't actually enroll as a regular student. She could only audit the class. She had to once again get special permission to actually take the exams from the instructors.
Yeah, so she really had to jump through every imaginable hoop just to get this math education that she had decided she wanted. And in July 1903, Emmy took the enrollment exam for the university at the Royal Gymnasium in Nuremberg. And she passed, basically proving at that point that she was even with male classmates despite having missed their educational background.
After the exam in the summer, Emmy started auditing advanced mathematics courses at the University of Göttingen, and that started in the winter of 1903-04. During these winter courses, she learned from teachers who would make incredible contributions in the world of mathematics.
Hermann Minkowski, for example, developed the geometry of numbers, he contributed to number theory, and he worked on relativity, influencing his famous student Albert Einstein. And David Hilbert, another of her instructors, set the foundations for functional analysis. Felix Klein influenced the development of mathematics as it related to representing the properties of space and spatial relations through geometry. So she was learning from serious heavy hitters.
But in 1904, she went back to the University of Erlangen because the school had started actually accepting women as for real legitimate students. On October 24th, 1904, she was officially enrolled as student number 486, and she was the only woman student in a field of 47.
Emmy's mentor during this time was Paul Gordan, who was a friend of her father's, as well as an influential mathematician in his own right. And Emmy had known him since she was just a child. He was very close with her family, and he is often described as sort of a second father figure to her. He was, however, in terms of personality, a stark contrast to her father, Max. Ernerter was gentle and warm. He was passionate about his work, but he is always described as sort of having this overlying sense of calm about him.
Gordan, who was nicknamed the King of Invariant Theory, was, unlike Max, a more dramatic figure. He was impulsive, he was expressive in very unbridled ways, he was given to wild gesticulation while he was talking, which I can identify with. Emmy was the only doctorate student that he ever mentored, and she was really devoted to him. She kept a photo of him on her wall for the rest of her life.
And it's interesting when people describe Emmy's behavior, she is sometimes described as having traits that are in some ways more similar to Paul Gordan than her father. Like, she too was given to serious gesticulation and kind of would make messes and be very dramatic and very excited and so passionate that she would kind of lose herself. But she received her PhD in mathematics from Erlangen after several years as Gordan's protege, and her thesis was a dissertation on algebraic invariance, which she successfully defended on December 13th of 1907. She was given her degree, summa cum laude, on July 2nd of the following year.
This timing is really significant because co-ed classes were not a thing in Germany until 1908, the year after she successfully defended her thesis. Any woman who had gone through the education system prior to that had, like Emmy, had to get special permission and was not granted equal student status.
Yeah, just for clarity, we mentioned that she returned to Erlangen because they were doing it. But in terms of Germany-wide, women were still not considered equal until that year after she defended her thesis. And in 1908, Emmy attended the International Mathematical Congress in Rome, Italy, and she attended that along with her father. She was at this point still a young woman and relatively unknown, despite sort of making this name for herself as an unusual figure, being a woman in a very male-dominated field. So it seems that during this particular conference, she really kept a fairly low profile.
After Miss Noether received her PhD, she continued her research work at Erlangen, although she wasn't paid for any of this work. She assisted her father in his research, and then she was invited in 1908 to join the Circolo Matematico in Italy, and then in 1909, the German Mathematical Union.
Emmy's first sort of professional lecture was in 1909 at the Salzburg meeting of the German Mathematical Union. She lectured at the Vienna chapter of the group several years later in 1913, and not long after that, she also started guest lecturing for her father as a substitute. And during this same period, although, as we said, we don't have writings from her, so we don't really know how this impacted her, but surely it did, Emmy's mentor, Paul Gordan, died in 1912, so just as her career was taking off.
So next up, we're going to talk about a significant move in Emmy's life. But before that, let's have a word from one of our awesome sponsors who keep the lights on here in our studio.
That sounds grand.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
After 8 years of post-PhD work at Erlangen, her former teachers, David Hilbert and Felix Klein, asked her to come back to Göttingen in 1915. And this was right after Albert Einstein had published his theory of general relativity. And Klein and Hilbert wanted Noether to work with them on unraveling the mathematics that were involved in Einstein's work. And Noether had published several papers of her own by this time, and she had really exhibited some insightful approaches to mathematical concepts, so she was the perfect candidate to assist in Hilbert and Klein's work.
She went to Göttingen, but this move turned out to be extremely controversial. Many faculty members objected to the idea of a woman on the teaching staff. If Emmy Noether couldn't be granted faculty status, Hilbert and Klein wanted her to at least have what's called a Privatdozent, which is a position similar to a postdoc. It would have given Emmy at least an officially recognized post within the Göttingen educational system, would also grant her sufficient title and permission to teach.
For Noether's thesis to be accepted and for her to be granted this Privatdozent, the entire philosophy faculty had to vote on it. And this umbrella of philosophy, keep in mind, included not only philosophy, but also history, natural sciences, and mathematics. And it turned out that the math people there were pretty cool with Emmy, but the non-mathematics people in the mix were really vehemently arguing against having a woman teach students.
The arguments against Noether were that giving her a Privatdozent position would mean that she was on track to be faculty. And what would the returning soldiers think when they came back to war to find that they're supposed to take classes from a woman?
Yeah, they really framed it like what a slap in the face that would be. These young men who had gone to defend the ideals of Germany and they then come back and find a lady teacher.
Well,
yeah, and keep in mind, this wasn't even soldiers saying this. This was kind of the weird trumped up argument that the non-mathematics faculty was trying to put together to keep Emmy Noether off of their cool kids club. And her mentor and now colleague Hilbert's response was, "Gentlemen, I do not see that the sex of the candidate is an argument against her admission as a Privatdozent. After all, the Senate is not a bathhouse." And he meant like the educational Senate, not their government Senate. And his argument, though, didn't sway the detractors, and Emmy was not granted this title.
Hilbert and Klein had to convince Noether to stay, for obvious reasons. But she couldn't lecture under her own name, so they had to come up with a sneaky kind of workaround. The lectures were listed under Hilbert's name, but Noether was the one who actually delivered them.
Yeah, she worked under his name for quite some time. In 1918, however, she has been doing this sort of sneaky workaround plan for several years at this point. She had developed, through her work with Hilbert and Klein, Noether's theorem, which deals with the relation between what are known as the symmetries of a physical system and its conservation laws. So among the revelations of this theorem is the linkage between time and energy, directly relating to the idea of conservation of energy. So that, in case you do not remember, is that energy can neither be created nor destroyed, but merely changes form. And this is incredibly significant stuff. I mean, this is really a huge part of physics as we know it.
Right. It's an incredibly important concept to theoretical physics, and her peers at the time recognized its significance, so much so that the following year, Emmy Noether was finally officially recognized as an academic lecturer with the Privatdozent title that we'd been talking about for so long. She had had to lecture without. She no longer had to lecture under a male mentor's name.
And this was obviously incredibly significant, but it's not maybe the huge win that we would all be hoping for. Because just to be clear at this point, Emmy Noether was in her 30s. She had published numerous influential and important papers, and she was working with the best mathematicians at the time as a respected peer of theirs on the mathematics of relativity. And despite all of that, she had, up to this official, kind of track to be in a faculty position, she had zero stability or safety in her career.
But even though she now had a title that made it okay for her to lecture as herself, her position did not actually come with any pay. She would not get any pay as a lecturer until 1923, 4 years after she was made a Privatdozent.
Yeah, we don't know exactly where the money was coming that supported her. This is one of those kind of wiggly, fuzzy points. Presumably, she was getting some from like a family fund and possibly sort of private grants from other mathematicians, but we don't really know. In 1920, she collaborated with colleague Werner Schmidler to write Concerning Moduli in Non-Commutative Fields, particularly in Differential and Difference Terms. And this publication really established, like without question, Noether as a mathematician at the very top of her field.
While the start of World War I kept her from traveling to speak at gatherings of mathematicians, starting in 1920, she was often on the road lecturing throughout Germany.
And from 1920 to 1926, Noether's work focused on what's called the general theory of ideals, known more commonly in modern times as commutative algebra. Her work during this time united a lot of different mathematical concepts, but this was, in terms of her personal life, a period of ups and downs for Emmy. In 1921, for example, her father died, so at this point she was left without both of her father figure mentors in mathematics.
And in the middle of all that work, as we said, she was given a lectureship, specifically in algebra, in 1923. Just 2 years later, Emmy's first student to complete a doctorate under her mentorship received her PhD. Emmy had mentored another woman, Greta Hermann, through her thesis process, and Hermann finished her doctorate in February 1925.
Around 1924, while she was working with Greta Hermann and lecturing and doing her research, Noether was at the center of this sort of interesting walking and talking phenomenon on campus. Students and scholars alike would take long walks with Emmy around the school grounds, talking about what else? Mathematics and math theory. And this informal group, which came to be known as Noether's Boys, included Russian scholar Pavel Alexandrov, who was a visiting professor from the University of Moscow.
Noether and Alexandrov became friends, and she was eventually invited to Moscow as a guest lecturer in the 1928-29 academic year. This was not the only international recognition she was receiving during this time, though. She also delivered a paper at the International Mathematical Congress in Bologna, Italy. That was in 1928. And then a few years later, in 1932, she addressed the same group in Zurich.
So in 1927, Noether's focus shifted almost exclusively to non-commutative algebras. And these are algebras where the order in which the numbers are multiplied affects the outcome. And Noether's work in this area yielded a theory that enabled a conceptual unification of all of them. And during her work in this phase of her career, she collaborated with Helmut Haas and Richard Brauer and published papers Hypercomplex Number Systems and Their Representation in 1929 and Non-Commutative Algebra in 1933.
From 1930 to 1933, she also worked as an editor on the German Mathematical Annual. Throughout all of her research, writing, and editing, she was also still teaching regularly. But even so, she was still employed at a level far below what her colleagues thought she deserved.
Yeah, even as male mathematicians were rising up through the ranks in the Göttingen educational system at a rate that really easily outpaced Emmy, they were so hugely influenced by her work that many of them tried to point out how wrong this was and tried to petition for an improved title on her behalf. It generally came to naught with the greater university system, but in terms of the mathematics world, she was regarded not just as a peer, but as a leader at this point.
1933 would prove to be a pivotal year for Noether, and we're going to talk about it after we pause to chat about one of our awesome sponsors who keep our show going.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.
In 1933, Germany changed, obviously pretty significantly, when the Nazi Party came into power. Emmy Noether, who was Jewish, lost her job, as did many of her colleagues. The Nazi Party had actually passed a number of laws that were intended to keep Jews out of civil service jobs, and that included academics.
For a while, Emmy gave informal lectures at her home. And she certainly had students who were eager to continue learning from her. She was apparently not even bothered when a student or two showed up in their Nazi uniforms. She just wanted to talk about math.
Meanwhile, her friend Pavel Alexandrov was working to get the University of Moscow to appoint her to a position. And his efforts were really passionate, but they were getting slow response. And finally, Emmy just had to make a decision about her future as tensions mounted in Germany.
She left Germany in October 1933 to move to the United States. She'd been offered a 1-year guest professor spot at Bryn Mawr College. Unbeknownst to Noether when she accepted the offer, the school was also setting up a graduate fellowship in her name for the academic year she would be teaching there. She also lectured and worked on her math research in Princeton, New Jersey at the Institute for Advanced Study.
And while interest in her lectures was initially slow to catch on, eventually Emmy did get a following of students, and she sort of found this mirror group to the Noether boys of Göttingen. But this group was called the Noether Girls, and they would go on hikes on Saturdays, all the while, just as she had in Germany, discussing mathematical concepts.
Her 1-year invitation to teach at Bryn Mawr was extended the following academic year of 1934-35. But before it started, she went back to Germany to visit her brother Fritz and his family before they moved to Siberia for a teaching position there. Like Emmy, Fritz lost his job at the Institute of Technology under the Nazi government.
Emmy also visited her old campus and her friends at Göttingen, but she soon headed back to Pennsylvania for another year at Bryn Mawr. And during her second year there, she mentored her first American PhD candidate, a young woman named Ruth Haufer.
The life of Emmy Noether ends rather abruptly. In the spring of 1935, she went into the hospital to have an ovarian cyst removed. And while she seemed to be recovering well initially, she died quite suddenly on April 14th, 4 days after her surgery.
Just a few weeks later, on May 3rd of 1935, the New York Times ran a letter that was written by Albert Einstein about Emmy Noether. And he wrote,
"Within the past few days, a distinguished mathematician, Professor Emmy Noether, formerly connected with the University of Göttingen and for the past 2 years at Bryn Mawr College, died in her 53rd year. In the judgment of the most competent living mathematicians, Fräulein Noether was the most significant creative mathematical genius thus far produced since the higher education of women began. In the realm of algebra, in which the most gifted mathematicians have been busy for centuries, she discovered methods which have proved of enormous importance in the development of the present-day younger generation of mathematicians.
And now, while we have reached the point in Emmy's story where she has departed this earthly plane, there's a little bit more to talk about in terms of her politics. And the reason that we're putting this at the end is because the primary information we have about it isn't from things that came up in her actual lifetime or, again, her writings, which we don't have. It's stuff that came up in eulogies and memorials from colleagues after her death, specifically two of them.
In 1919, Noether joined the Independent Social Democrats group in Göttingen, and to some, the group was considered an extremely radical Bolshevik group. It was a splinter group that broke away from the Social Democratic Party in 1914 as a centrist group between the Social Democratic Party and the Communist Party of Germany. But two of her close friends and fellow mathematicians interpret her politics very differently when they spoke about her life.
First, Hermann Weyl. Weyl worked in analysis, number theory, foundational mathematics, and quantum mechanics, among other areas. And he met Noether in Göttingen in 1913, and they remained quite close throughout the rest of Emmy's life. And when Weyl spoke of Emmy's political stance, it was very much in the vein that she was a pacifist, and she definitely was, we know that, with great hopes for Germany's future, and that really she saw the independent social democrats as the next stage of the social democrats, not as a radical shift, but as a gradual evolution. And he also wrote of Emmy that, quote, without being actually in party life, she participated intensely in the discussion of the social and political problems of the day.
On the other hand, Pavel Alexandrov characterized Emmy as very pro-Soviet. He said that, quote, she always had a lively interest in politics and hated war and chauvinism in all its forms and with her whole being. Her sympathies were always unwaveringly with the Soviet Union. So it seems, based on the fact that Alexandrov was working to get Emmy a position in Moscow in 1933, that she was comfortable with the idea of living in the Soviet Union. And the Bolshevik Revolution took place while she was working in academia, so it's really unlikely that she was blind or ignorant to the political events that were playing out around her.
But since both of these men likely saw Emmy's political stance through their own lenses and in the way they wished to see her, and since we do not have any of her own writing on the subject to reference, we really don't know where she truly stood.
What's really indisputable is that Emmy Noether was a major figure in mathematics, both in her time and today, as many others have built upon her work. And she seems simply unflappable in the face of the difficulties she faced as she made a name for herself in a field that had very few women in it.
And so I wanted to end with a quote from her friend Pavel Alexandrov, because it describes Emmy in such a way that I think anybody would want to know her. It says, quote, her great sense of humor, which made social gatherings and personal contacts with her so pleasant, enabled her to counter the injustices and absurdities that beset her academic career easily and without anger. In such circumstances, instead of being offended, she would simply laugh. But she was very offended indeed and protested sharply when even the smallest injustice was directed at one of her students.
Aww.
I love that quote. There's really no substantiation in any way, but it will come up as theory sometimes that she was connected romantically to either Weyl or Alexandrov, although we don't know, and none of their letters ever hinted any of that, so we just have no idea. But we do know that she was very close with both of those men, so I loved that sort of lovely description of her.
Yeah.
And now we'll get to the listener mail that inspired this whole thing, and this is from our listener Mark, who is amazing, and he writes, hi, Holly and Tracy. I enjoyed listening to your podcast, and I thought you might like a laser engraving of one of my favorite mathematicians, Emmy Noether. I did the engraving on 1mm aircraft plywood, hoping that would make it a little more unique. I listen to your podcast when I'm on the road or in the lab, a guitar lab, really. Keep up your great work. And Mark sent us this absolutely beautiful engraving of Emmy, and I just was so struck by it that we had to do an episode.
Yeah.
And we're going to post a picture of it.
It's great.
It's amazing.
So we've talked about how I don't normally work in the same office as Holly anymore. And so Holly will send me pictures of the things that come into the office and are amazing. And that was one where I kept zooming in on my phone.
Yeah, it's amazing.
He usually texts them to me, and I'm like, whoa, what's happening?
It's really gorgeous.
It's very beautiful.
I love it. Mark, thank you so much. That was so thoughtful and cool, and I appreciate that you took time to make us a really fabulous gift. We're very, very lucky.
Thank you so much for joining us on this Saturday. If you have heard an email address or a Facebook URL or something similar over the course of today's episode, since it is from the archive, that might be out of date now. You can email us at historypodcast@howstuffworks.com, and you can find us all over social media at Missed in History. And you can subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever else you listen to podcasts.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.